Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our discussion today with the gigantic question mark. No free speech? Question mark. Are you satisfied with that? Our silence says that we are. Our willingness to stay under the beds, hidden under the beds and in the closet, say that we are. Pastors that's willing to get on the roof of their buildings and preach from a bullhorn to a parking lot full of cars say that they're satisfied with the free speech, religious liberties being modified, modulated, foreclosed upon for Christians in America. I am concerned about that. I'm adamantly opposed to that. And as I said just before the break, I've said now, ladies and gentlemen, for the past 8 weeks, that we've been lied to, we've been deceived, we've been manipulated into believing that somehow, some way, 2.2 million people are going to die in America unless we shut down all of society. And that's been done at the detriment of America and American businesses and our churches. So, ladies and gentlemen, just have we been duped? Just have we been deceived by this demonic Democratic plot and plan to destroy capitalism, the system that we have in America? And they're doing it to introduce socialism and Big Brother society where there's no Bill of Rights. Here's the article, a large article, and I'm going to read, skip through it, giving you the highlights of it. It's about a 10-page article. I'm not going to belabor the whole thing, but it's very, very, very important for you to get the point and get the connectivity and the nexus of what I've been saying for all of these weeks. Title of the article, it's a study. It is put out by thefederalist.com. Inaccurate virus models are panicking officials into ill-advised lockdown. Subtitle says how a handful of Democratic activists created alarming but bogus data sets to scare local and state officials into making rash economy-killing mandates. As the U.S. and state local officials halt the economy and quarantine their communities over the Wuhan virus crisis, one would hope our leaders were making such major decisions based on well-sourced data and statistical analyses. That is simply not the case at all. A scan of statements made by media, state government, local leaders, county judges, and more show many relying on the same source on outlining mapping tools called, listen, state governors, local leaders, county judges, and more are relying on a online mapping tool called COVID Act Now. Keep that in mind. Google it. COVID Act Now. COVID in caps, then Act Now. The website said it is built to enable political leaders to quickly make decisions in their coronavirus response informed by the best available data and modeling. An interactive map provides users a catastrophic forecast for each state from which they should wait to implement COVID-19 now suggests strict measures to, quote, flatten the curve. But a closer look at how many COVID Act Now predictions have already fallen short and how they have become ubiquitous resources across the country overnight suggests something more sinister than reality. When Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins announced a shelter-in-place order on Dallas County Sunday, he displayed COVID Act Now graphics with the predictive outcome after 3 months if certain drastic measures are taken. The NBC Dallas affiliate also embedded the COVID-19 COVID Now Act models in their story on the mandate. The headlines on NBC Oregon affiliate featured COVID Act Now data and headline blaring, Coronavirus model sees Oregon hospitals overwhelmed by mid-April. Both the Oregonian and the East Oregonian newspapers also published stories featuring the widely shared data predicting the point of no return. Here's another portion of this. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer cited COVID Act Now when telling her state they would exceed 7 million cases in Michigan with 1 million hospitalized and 460,000 deaths. That's what this COVID Act Now website said would happen in Michigan. A local CBS report in Georgia featured Emory University professor urging Governor Brian Kemp with the same point of no return language, and COVID Act Now models is what he was using. COVID Act Now predicted that by March 19, the state of Tennessee could expect 190 hospitalizations of patients with confirmed Wuhan virus. By the 19th, they had only 15 patients hospitalized. In New York, COVID Act Now claimed that 5,400 New Yorkers would have been hospitalized by March the 19th. The actual number of hospitalizations at that time was only 750. The site also claimed that nearly 13,000 New Yorkers hospitalized by March 23rd. The actual number was 2,500. In Georgia, COVID Act Now predicted 688 hospitalizations by March 23rd. By that date, there was around 800 confirmed cases in the whole state, with fewer than 300 hospitalized. In Florida, COVID Act Now predicted that by March 19th, the state would face 400 hospitalizations. On the 19th, Governor Ron DeSantis said only 90 people in Florida had been hospitalized. COVID Act Now models in other states, including Oklahoma, Virginia, etc., also far off in their predictions. Jordan Satchel, a national security writer, said COVID Act Now modeling comes from, listen, here's what I want you to understand. COVID Act Now modeling comes from one team based at Imperial College London that is not only highly scrutinized, but has a track record of bad predictions every time a prediction was made. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The COVID Act Now website, founders of the site included Democratic Representative Jonathan Kress Tompkins, three Silicon Valley tech workers and Democratic activists, Zachary Rosen, Max Henderson, Igor Kaufman, who all are donors in the various Democratic campaigns and political organizations since 2016. Henderson and Kaufman donated to the Hillary Clinton Foundation in 2016. Rosen donated to the Democratic National Committee. The recently resigned Democratic Representative Katie Hill and other Democratic candidates. Prior to building the COVID Act Now website, Kaufman created an online game designed to raise $1 million for the eventual 2020 Democratic candidate to defeat President Donald J. Trump in the election. The game's website is now defunct, but COVID Act Now still operating. Perhaps the goal of COVID Act Now was never, listen, never to provide accurate information, but to scare citizens and governments governmental officials into the implementation of rash and draconian measures. The creators even admit as such, with the caveat, quote, "This model is designed to drive fast action, not to predict any future," end quote. That's a footnote on their website. Did you ever hear of any of the governors, any of the mayors, any of the political pundits that were pushing that to say that they saw that on the website? The article further says they generated this model under the guise of protecting communities from overrun hospitals and trends that is not on track to happen as predicted. Not only is the data false and phony and fallacious and looking more incorrect with each passing day, but the website is optimized for disinformation campaigns and nothing more. A social media share button prompts users to share this model and alarming graphs on Facebook and Twitter and to fill out the autofill text forms. Quote, "This is the point of no return for intervention to prevent X hospital systems from being overrun, overloaded, and destroyed by COVID, coronavirus," end quote. The dawning phrase, "the point of no return," is the same talking point being repeated by government officials justifying their shelter-in-place orders and filling the new headlines every day on the news media. Democrats are not going to waste such rich political opportunity as global House Democrats attempt to take advantage of the economic recession, and it becomes a pipe dream filled with what they're wanting to accomplish with their new form of government, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't write that. I just read you portions of this broad study that was done and presented online by thefederalist.com. I pray that you've heard that well, because, ladies and gentlemen, what we need to understand and recognize that's taking place is that we have an attempt to literally overthrow our capitalistic constitutional form of government, and to redefine what is right and what is wrong, and to basically put in place what I've said for years is a shadow government. That's not just a pipe dream. That's not just hearsay. That's not just some conspiracy theory. That's literally taking place today as I speak. Ladies and gentlemen, it's frightening to understand that America is a different place today. We've seen a dramatic change. What once was normal, what once seemed as freedom now, has now become repressive, socialist, Marxist form of governance. The wannabe tyrants, that wannabe rulers, are, ladies and gentlemen, ruling every aspect of our lives today. Attorney General William Barr has stepped into several of these cases where churches and pastors and Christians have been ticketed and fined and even jailed for exercising their constitutional liberties and the constitutional freedoms. Here's an article that says leftists don't want to shut down the inn. Shut down to end because they're living out their wildest dreams and imagination. As the ongoing Chinese coronavirus pandemic turns out to be far less than previously feared, certain segments of the population are itching to get America's economy rolling again, except although we are initially told to hunker down for a few weeks to flatten the curve. The goalposts were moved as soon as the original goal was met. Now, significant chunks of people are seemingly wanting the lockdown to last forever or until a vaccine is developed, whichever comes sooner. Ladies and gentlemen, that's being pushed by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They happen to own and control nine pharmaceutical research laboratories. They're on the fast track with three of those laboratories, almost at the very verge of introducing. In fact, one article that I read said they're now getting a patent on one of the vaccinations that includes, hear me, includes a digital ID system that will be invisible to the naked eye under the skin of the one that receives the vaccine. Increasingly, this article says the politics behind who wants to go back to work and who wants to keep their PJs on and continue their weeks-long slumber party ad infinitum are blatantly obvious. Many on the right are concerned about coronavirus ever since hearing about the strange happening in Wuhan, China. The left, on the other hand, is in no hurry. And who could blame them? Of late, they've witnessed many of their most insane policy goals come either to fruition or within palatable reach, and they aren't about to let some lame protester trying to feed their families and get their way to have progress. Here are just a few of the leftists and what they're wanting to do and living out their dreams. And they list it here, ladies and gentlemen. I'll not take time to read it. They are looking at the police state dreams come true. They're looking at trillions of dollars down the rat hole, as I would call it. They're looking at the COVID-19 shaming, where they want you to shame your neighbor and shame others, where some preachers are shaming some preachers for opening their church and having worship services, where some citizens are snitching on their neighbor and calling the 311 numbers all over New York and telling on them. And that's also been put in place in Colorado and Oregon and California and Washington State. And this article says further, their goal is to run out the clock on President Trump while Congress is fighting this overblown pandemic from the safety of its members' home offices. They aren't in session getting those things done for the American people, and Trump appointees and judges aren't being confirmed either. If you're a leftist, keep on going and doing what you're doing, making it possible, akin to holding on to the basketball with no shot clock left. Keep it up. Beat Trump, and it's smooth sailing in 2021. At least they think that. Given all these reasons and more, why on earth would the left ever want America to go back to work is the question that is left. And ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Kentucky governor threatens 14-day quarantine for going to mass gatherings, including church services. The governor there has basically hammered on the churches more perhaps than any of the other governors across America. Under the rules, people are seen taking part in in-person events with their license plates being numbered and recorded by the authorities, who will provide the information to local health departments, according to the governor. Health officials will then contact each participant and require them to go into a 14-day quarantine mode. I'm thankful that Bill Barr is the Attorney General, ladies and gentlemen. If it weren't for Bill Barr, I think that we would see all of our constitutional rights and remedies being absolutely cast out and trodden underfoot. Here's an article that says, Barr, that's talking about Bill Barr, William Barr, the Attorney General. Barr threatens legal action on governors over excessive lockdowns and what they're doing to the citizen. Governors who impose rules to deal with the coronavirus pandemic that infringe on constitutional rights can expect to face legal action, warned Attorney General Bill Barr. In an interview Tuesday on the Hugh Hewitt show, Barr urged states to enact targeted measures, citing President Trump's guidelines. Quote, we have to give businesses more freedom to operate in ways that's reasonably safe for them, Barr said. To the extent that governors don't and impinge on our civil rights, our national commerce, our common market that we have here, then we'll just simply have to address that and crack down on it. Barr says the Justice Department could join and has already joined lawsuits by citizens, businesses, and churches and pastors. He said that as specific cases emerge in the states, we'll have to look at them. Quote, we're looking carefully at the number of these rules that are being put into place, Barr said. And if we think one goes too far, we will initially try to jawbone with the governors and rolling them back or adjusting them. If they do not, and the people brings lawsuits, we will file a statement of interest and join in the lawsuit with the plaintiff against the states. And he goes on and on, ladies and gentlemen, in his statements. He says, in relationship to what's happening with the churches, Barr explained that restrictions on the First Amendment right to worship can be imposed if there's compelling governmental interest, such as public health. But, he says, it must be interpreted as a real compelling interest, and it must be with restrictions that are palatable and not destroying the religious liberties and the freedom of speech and worship. Barr said religious liberty is the first liberty and the foundation of our republic, and a free society depends on a vibrant religious life among the people. Anytime that's encroached upon by the government, he says, I am very concerned. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we are facing that today in our nation with a continuing crackdown and a continuing sense by some of these wannabe tyrants that simply think that somehow, some way, they can continue on the fast track to destroy our liberties and our freedoms with no response to it. I'm about to read to you a brief article that was posted on Facebook today by former Congressman Trey Gowdy. Trey Gowdy, as you know, left the Congress, did not run for re-election. He said that when he got into Congress, he thought the goal would be to seek truth. But he said, and I quote, he said, I don't see any truth being sought in Washington. That's when he left the position and ceased to run for office. He went back to the state of South Carolina in his prosecutorial position. From Trey Gowdy, listen carefully. I'm not saying COVID-19 isn't real, but pay attention, folks. There's much more going on here than what meets the eye. Is it a coincidence that just when the economy is booming, the stock market is setting high records, we're winning the trade wars, school shootings have stopped, our nation is at peace, the Democratic Party is a disaster, and so it is their likely nominee, Biden, he has a chance in blank, and that's not about to let an outsider, Bernie Sanders, destroy their scheme. It looks like Trump is a sure bet for re-election after fending off 3 years of investigations and impeachment. Then all of a sudden, world crisis pandemic. Stock markets tumble. Companies are laying off employees. Everything is closed and canceled. CEOs of giant companies are resigning and indictments are coming. Now they say there are a couple of ways President Trump doesn't win re-election. Those are an unpopular war of poor economy. But there is something larger going on here, driving the sudden outbreak right after Trump beats an impeachment, especially the fact that it is the coronavirus originated in China, who we are in a global trade war with, brought on by President Trump. Let's not forget Biden's backdoor deals with China as well. China doesn't want four more years of President Trump either. It's all seen rather convenient for the nation and its opponents of the current president and the economic 5 months before election. Couldn't have hit a more perfect timing, would you think? With the Democrats running out the campaign talking points in light of no school shootings, no migrant caravans at the southern border, fighting in Syria winding down, North Korea not firing missiles, and Trump beating a sham impeachment, the coronavirus gave them one last Hail Mary to try to point fingers at Trump with the clock winding down to 2020. This is almost the perfect fascist playbook. I'm reading from Trey Gowdy, former congressman from South Carolina. Control the population with fear-mongering, panic, control the media, spread propaganda, and fan the favorite disarm the population fan. Oh, and did anyone notice that while they are mad at President Trump, and of course he used some explicatives, for not sending aid to Ukraine, they themselves voted against anything, any giving of any emergency aid to all Americans? Sorry, but I don't think we're all going to die. Remember when Ebola was what was going to kill us all, and the media kept showing the piles of body bags they were prepared to for the fallout. Then a month later, it was totally forgotten. The common flu has killed more people this year already than the media is totally silent. A handful of deaths out of 320 million Americans, and we are in panic, tearing down our society and costing our economy millions in the wake. It all just seems fishy, a little too well timed, if you ask me. Quote by Trey Gowdy, former congressman from South Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been deceived. We've been duped into believing that all of us are going to die if we do not let the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats control our society and therefore shut down the economy completely. And ladies and gentlemen, all of that's bad enough. But we've been told by media wannabes, and we've been told by the wannabe tyrants that's leading as mayors and governors, that pastors, preachers, and churches need to just simply switch to online services and have it carried out online. But ladies and gentlemen, Facebook is blocking today information about protesters across America. Those protests notices are being taken down. Here's an article that says, Facebook shuts down Open New Jersey protest page for promoting a crime. Facebook says that if you're carrying out your First Amendment right of freedom of speech and redress against government, then you're promoting a crime. Facebook, thin line between policing coronavirus information and suppressing political distance on coronavirus policy, has been officially crossed. The New Jersey residents hoping to emulate anti-stay-at-home protest in other states, including Michigan, North Carolina, Ohio, Utah, Wyoming, Virginia, Georgia, etc., were thrown a curveball on Thursday when Facebook shut down their event page. Quote, the Open New Jersey rally planned for Tuesday, April the 28th, was to be at Trenton War Memorial, was informed by Facebook that its event page violated the social media platform's community standards. Specifically, Facebook warned that it was coordinating harm and promoting a crime, end quote. New Jersey, like a number of other blue states, has criminalized any political protest. A woman who helped organize protest against New Jersey coronavirus-driven stay-at-home orders is now facing charges for violating those orders by the authorities in her state. Ladies and gentlemen, I have forgotten again to remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I have a few more minutes left in the broadcast. You still have time to call in, jump in with your thoughts, your dialogue and discussion. Here's the article, ladies and gentlemen, about the lady stated that she's violated the law. Woman flexing her right, flexing, F-L-E-X-I-N-G, her right to protest stay-at-home order charged with criminal violation. In the latest example of what could be deemed an overreach by governmental officials during the ongoing corona pandemic, a New Jersey woman has been charged with violating emergency orders by organizing a protest of a state-mandated lockdown order. Kim Pagan, a resident of Toms Creek, New Jersey, was issued a summons by the New Jersey State Police, according to the state's Department of Law and Public Safety. The report that Pagan organized the protest at New Jersey State House in Trenton, New Jersey, on Friday in response to the Democratic Governor Phil Murphy's far-reaching lockdown order. Her crime? She is charged with violating the emergency orders by organizing a prohibited event. What about our First Amendment right? What about the right to bring about redress and challenge the government? What about our First Amendment right? Ladies and gentlemen, during the course of the protest, they drove up in parked cars and honked their horns in front of the State House and in front of Murphy's office, and some held signs, and about a dozen stood outside the building demanding the governor reopen the state. And now she is accused of violating the state law of social distancing as a result of carrying out her First Amendment right. We're talking about the loss of our rights, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the question, no free speech, question mark. When did it come about that our First Amendment has been canceled? And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, all of this taking place under the wannabe tyrants that are ruling every aspect of our lives, Attorney General William Barr has stepped into several of these cases where churches and pastors and Christians have been ticketed or fined or in some way tormented, as I would call it, simply because of standing up for their rights and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, points out coronavirus in New York. Yeshivas moving underground to avoid lockdown. That's the Jewish group. Brooklyn yeshivas are operating in the shadows to avoid corona lockdown restrictions, according to the report. The Orthodox Jewish schools are coming to hold classes in private apartments and in lockdown buildings and in the secrecy without others knowing it to protect their rights of religious freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says social distancing orders push more activities online, and some are claiming that technology platforms are now discriminating against applications because of their content. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, my wife said just a few weeks ago they're pushing everybody, every church, to go online. And once everybody's online, all they need to do is, just as in China, shut down the online preaching, the online teaching. We've already got evidence where Facebook's doing that, where YouTube's doing that. In fact, YouTube recently shut down a man that was doing a Bible study for fifth and sixth graders online. And this article says a social distancing order pushing more activities online. Some are claiming that technology platforms are discriminating against the apps because of their content. And he goes on to talk about how that is true and what is taking place with that. Ladies and gentlemen, we must understand that our freedoms are at risk as Christians. Listen to me, if you're a Christian pastor, get back in that pulpit and preach the gospel message to your congregation. If you're a Christian, get back in church and be organized and understand that we need to practice safety and hygiene, but we need to exercise our rights under our Bill of Rights of freedom of worship and freedom of speech and the freedom to organize against our government. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.